Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
We're actually recording at nighttime, so you are actually drinking.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Chang's always drinking. Doesn't matter what time we record.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more after at least 10:30 nowadays.
Nowadays, after at least 10:30, which means he set a rule. Like, no more cracking beers when I'm cooking eggs for the kids before school.
No. We're not doing that unless I got to do tastings.
Is that Royal Blue our hoodie, Richard?
Yes.
Is it?
Ooh. Yes. I've been on a podcast tour for the last week and a half.
If Richard would kindly show you all, don't forget you can get your homage gear at homage.com/roadtrippin. It is
homage.com
comfy
slash road
clothing. guys, welcome. Road Trippin. Yeah. Allie Clifton, Channing Fry, Richard Jefferson. What? Oh, sup fools? Sup fools? Is that how you say that?
Sup fools?
Sup fools? let's recap our all-star activities. Basketball, and then also just how you guys spent your all-star break.
Let's not. Let's talk about our Allie Clifton being the first female to ever call Lakers regional game. Let's give a shout out. In the history of the Lakers. Look, you guys already know that she keeps everything together. And yes, you guys have had the pleasure of listening to me for years. But like, little did you know that we had just an absolute superstar. Me and Channing knew. We were like, well, Channing's
a little iffy the first couple times, but you know what?
Channing's the caboose. Allie's the engine, and I'm that empty cart in the middle, right? I'm the empty cart.
I would say you're definitely the fun cart.
The fun cart. Yeah. And Channing's the one in the back where they keep the coal, right?
Yeah.
Where they keep the coal. Allie's the engine with, you know. So
that's also in the back, isn't it?
No, the engine's
in the back.
Wait, Allie, do you have more news, right?
Uh-oh. I have more news?
Yes.
Oh, then I'm calling in another game on Friday?
Yes, they gave her another game. That means you didn't suck. That means you didn't suck.
Oh, thanks. No pressure. God, that means there's still time left.
Oh, I suck all the time. Trust me, people tell me every day.
Definitely do. I have created accounts just to tell Richard he sucks.
Yeah. And so does my mom. It's crazy. She's got a burner. Aww, tells me how trash I am.
No, you're kind. I finally feel like I'm part of y'all's club. You guys both call games. You've done it at the highest level here in this league. And it was certainly an awesome opportunity.
I was elated about it.
Yeah, I will say that. It was fun.
Welcome. I've been trying to tell y'all.
It was fun.
I actually started my career calling college games for my alma mater, but that was like before I even knew what I wanted to do.
DeVry University had a team?
Toledo. We're going to get into all the alma mater stuff because y'all's crew that y'all hang with runs really deep. And I feel like, you know, I was a principal's kid. So I always had those moments where my dad would warn me, just so you know, any decision that you make, I will know about it before you make it. And then I'll be the first to know about once you make it. So be careful on your decisions that you make. Okay. That's how I feel with hanging out with you guys. But first and foremost, yes, excited to call the game. Super, super ecstatic. You guys are amazing. I appreciated the support because you guys gave the love. Channing, I love the love that you gave the day after when you were like, oh, you're going to be great. And I was like, it was last night.
Allie, I'm on East Coast time, girl. I don't know East Coast time. Nobody tells me.
I love you. You're amazing. Super,
I was
super
positive,
excited.
Though. I called you. I actually physically called you and told you you're going to do great.
You did.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, that was yesterday. But I was like, hey, next time.
It's fine. Okay, let's talk about NBA All-Star. We're going to talk about how it relates to basketball. But if you guys don't want to talk about your time at All-Star, I'll talk about mine just because I do need to give one shout out. And this individual knows that it's coming. Short backstory. I do not have to be at All-Star weekend. So therefore, I like to take time to get away. Sometimes I go home. Sometimes I've gone skiing. Whatever. This time I chose to go with a group of girlfriends of mine to Miami. Fun fact, I've been to Miami 13 times. All 13 times I've been working, which means I've never gone to Miami not working. Oof. So how do you maximize 3 days in Miami when you're not a line girl? Like, no offense. I can't stand in a line. I can't. Like, at that point, it's like,
that's that Cleveland bougie coming out you.
Yeah, we got to get
Cleveland bougie.
So I reached out to some people that I know who are familiar with Miami, and they gave me a list of things to do, blah, blah, blah. They said, I have a contact for this certain establishment. I will connect you. So Friday night comes, and I'm having a text conversation with said contact, to which they handle the one thing that I asked and said I wanted to do. And then midway through the conversation, I get a text. We always talk about how road tripping has just kind of circulated my life and reminded me who I am and who I hang out with. Specifically, you two. I get a text that says, also, are you the same Allie Clifton from Road Trippin'? I said, this she is, with an upside down smiley face. Hello. And they said, hello. So we have mutual friends, or LOL, we have mutual friends. Channing is a good friend and wine buddy of mine. We went to college together, which means he also went to the same college as Richard. So the next thing you know, I will call you in a few. So then it led to, I know Doug. I know Daryl.
DB. Everyone calls him DB. Know that. She's like, who is Daryl Brooks? I'm like, oh,
did DB? Did he know Nacho? Did he know DB? Nacho?
No. She don't know that guy. That was pre-cool Channing.
I'm really good friends with Channing, blah, blah, blah. So from there on out, the one thing I will say, it made my life so much easier. So thanks for having a friendship with me, because all y'all Arizona people are wonderful, kind, so connected. Shout out to Matt Brooks. Seriously, I will forever go back to Miami. He actually told me by the end of the trip that he's now my Miami travel agent. I said, deal. Ooh, okay. However, there was a text when he asked me, he said, how was your night? I said, this place is for the birds. Holy shit. He said, so you hate it? I said, where are we going tonight? Sign me up.
No.
So shout
everyone,
out.
Richard, you know what she's talking about. Now everyone has the same reaction. Oh, what time does this place close? You're like, 7 a.m., 10 a.m., whatever time you get
done. Whenever everyone leaves, but it typically doesn't close. You get waves of people. Now, look, Miami, this is one thing that I will say NBA players have mastered, right? Because of our jobs, because of how much we travel. And a lot of times you're a young guy, you know, whatever. So you get friends in every city. And I mean that not like when we were like Jaspin, you know, both of us know Jaspin. Jaspin went to Arizona. He lives in New Orleans. Whenever I would go to New Orleans, he's the only fucking person I know. Jaspin, you want to go to dinner? You want to go dis? So eventually you start making connects in different cities. Now, you've never had a straight party connect, which you now have in Miami. But yes, that's part of life on the road. It's like you got to figure out those cities where you got like people, even if it's just dinner, like, you know, you have friends from college, friends from here. And you're like, hey, look, I'm going to be in DC for one night and I don't want to sit in my hotel if you want to go to dinner. So I'm glad that you found a party friend that can help you navigate Miami, because those friends are very, very important. Shout out Bear Jew.
Shout out Maddie Brooks.
Berger is throwing pictures around like he should not be. Having said that, yeah, Matt, yes. I will say we may or may not have left this establishment when it was not the same in the sky out when we left as in when we came. Oh, having said that, we were in our vehicle to go home to bed and our car almost hit the motorcyclist in front of us at a stoplight. And I told a friend about it and they said that's because they were leaving the establishment at the same time.
Yeah, listen, like, that would have put a damper on the bus. One.
I ran.
What?
Richard, I don't know if Allie was in running.
I got back at a car and ran like I was guilty.
That's Red Bull gives you wings. I was ready to fly. All right. Having said that, how was All-Star for you guys? There are a couple.
Do you want me to go, Richard, since I had to be there the longest? Or do you want to go you? You could go your short story.
I'm going to go very short story. I could go without it.
I was going to say, you know that new TikTok that says, I'm going to tell you about what it's like getting ready with blah, 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 blah. And then they do the whole entire TikTok without saying a word. Yeah. That's what I thought you were going to do.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you all about All-Star and how great it was. And then you go like 30 seconds, you don't say a word at all.
Look, there's pot. Look, first of all, best part about All-Star is I got to see our girl, Annie. I got to see her. Thank you for the gifts, Annie. Thank you for the Nikes, for the shoes.
Oh, Annie's the best.
So that's the reason to, that's the one reason to get to All-Star. So you can go say hello to Annie, give her a hug, catch up with her, have her tell me about how like Hendrix is wearing like your shoes.
Yeah, he's a size 16 now.
Yeah. And so a goal. Annie works for Nike. She used to work for Lynn Merritt, who was the head, and look, the general's awesome. She's awesome. So that's it. Outside of that, look, I got some good pieces of content. I got some pieces of content with Micah Parsons. I took an Uber pool. CJ Stroud. So that honestly, the best part about it was getting some pieces of content for my social.
A completely other league.
If they told me that I never had to go to All-Star Weekend again, I'd ear to ear smiling.
So I don't know if I agree with that. I think All-Star Weekend can be fun. I had a good time in Utah.
I had a blast.
Dude, totally. So Utah was good. Chicago was kind of weird. Cleveland, obviously, we had a great time, right? But here's my four things you cannot do on All-Star Weekend. One, have bad weather. People come to All-Star Weekend to go to these great parties, to spend money, to get basketball experiences, to walk the town. You can't do that in a city with shitty weather like Indiana. Also, Indiana's not big enough. There's not enough space to do where, like in Utah, you were like, hey, 15 minutes down the road, an hour is Park City. You know, like there were a million things to do, even though, and everything was elevated because it's All-Star. Everything was like super amazing. Indiana felt very Midwest. That's not bad. That's not good. But that's not All-Star, right? It didn't seem like, two, there's not enough great restaurants. St. Elmo's?
You're not going to be allowed back.
I'm saying Indiana. No, hear me out.
You should have just.
I'm not bashing Indiana.
What?
I'm not bashing Indiana. You're but not? I'm also saying, no, I'm not bashing Indiana. I think it's a solid basketball city. It's great for the Final Four. It's great for the Super Bowl, right? It is not great for a All-Star game. It's a different demographic of people and superstars and you know, famous musicians. How many famous people really came out to enjoy the weekend in Indiana? You flew in and flew out, Richard, the same day.
What are you talking about? We had 50 there. We had Lil Wayne there. Okay, let me interject.
They flew in and flew out the same day. Richard, in LA, are they going to fly in and out the same day? No, they're going to different parties.
They live here.
What I'm saying, they also live everywhere, Allie. All I'm saying is All-Star games should be on the West Coast, one, should not be in the Midwest or East Coast winter cities, two, and three, you also need to have star power. So where's the star power? Find good weather cities and bigger cities to do it. That's my
opinion. Okay. I 100% agree with you, Channing. Now let's lay out all the reasons why that will never happen.
Every city can't get an All-Star game, Richard.
There's 30 billionaire owners. They all want to have the All-Star game, whether it's
revenue money, share. Revenue share.
No, but
thank you. No, thank you. Go on. I'll mute myself.
You don't gotta mute yourself. The only thing I'm saying is, like, is that, like, are we gonna be real? Or are we gonna be like, yes, those cities are not the ideal city to go to in February, right? That's not ideal. But they're not going to do it just in LA. They're not going to just rotate it. The NBA is about growing the brand, about spreading it. So every city is going to get it. We know that. It sucks to have three in a row that were in shitty weather. Part of it is because I think Indiana was a make good for COVID because it was supposed to be there one of those years that, you know, it got, you know, whatever, kiboshed. So I say that to say, Channing, I agree with you. Shit, have it in LA or Vegas every single year. I'd be the happiest person.
Go to Bahamas. Complain about.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. But we know that from a business standpoint, the NBA is always going to spread it out. Every team is going to get it. And we just, you know, you live and die by where that is. Like, there's no very few direct flights out of Cleveland. Out of Indianapolis. Utah's great. Shout out Utah. They got an international airport so you can get anywhere you want to go. And you're on the West Coast and you got skiing. Shout out Utah. Love it. But yeah, getting in and out of Cleveland and Indianapolis is like, you can leave at 10 and you'll get back to LA at 7. And you're like, that's Los Angeles, California. We can't, like, there's not better options. So I'm with Channing. I agree. It should be in the West Coast every single year. But that's not reality. The reality is they're going to spread the shit out.
I will say, as the mediator of this, Richard gave the overarching feelings of the two of you, and Channing just explained why.
Basically. Yeah. Okay, what's up, boy?
Aww. What's up, Channing?
Hi, man, that's an adult voice. You driving yet?
No.
Okay, tell your dad, let him drive the Bronco.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it.
Daddy.
Uh-huh. Absolutely not.
I'm gonna get you a new rabbit.
Okay.
That's his bunny.
I know.
So cute.
Everybody got one of those things.
Yeah.
Okay, here. We're gonna break down the weekend. Skills challenge.
Okay.
We gotta pick serious teams.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
It's basketball. It says basketball on the inside. It's just the way it thing.
At what point did I say?
No, you can't say it. Richard sees the thing.
Oh, so yeah.
Why does it say that? What does it say?
I know what it says.
Me?
Yeah, what does it say?
Basketball?
Yeah. He's like, Daddy, can I say that? And I'm like, no.
What does that mean?
Of course.
No, the B was missing because it's like a cup thing. So the B was missing. So it said, yeah. Astastic. Let's go. Okay. All right, get out of here. Get out of here. Beat it, kids.
Can I just play this?
No, bro, I'm done. He just asked me if he can put on the Pac-Man and play it. No, bro, upstairs. Upstairs. I'll be up there in 97 minutes. Upstairs.
What is their concept of time? Is curious to me.
No.
Wait, Daddy, can I listen to a story tape?
Yes. The problem is, it's not their concept of time. Is what is their concept of sarcasm? And they're doing such a better job. I'm so proud of them. Like, when I say 97 minutes, they just look at me and roll their eyes and just, like, walk off. They know that.
All right, here we go. Back to basketball. The skills challenge. Good idea. Confusing. I think we need to just pick four guys that want to try and win it, right? And it'll be the NBA versus the G League versus the WNBA, and you make it competitive for money. So that way, if the NBA loses, somebody's going to say, how y'all, like, y'all got to win this motherfucker. Because Scottie Barnes didn't give a shit. Anthony Edwards didn't give a shit. But, like, the Pacers team actually cared. So you may have two NBA teams and then the other two teams, one from the G League, one from the WNBA. Because obviously that's bringing in basketball. If we're promoting basketball, let's bring in everyone. Because obviously the G League is the best at dunking. Yep. Maybe the WNBA is best at the skills challenge, right? Anyways, the three-point contest I thought was interesting. It's obviously the most exciting, right? It doesn't get the most hype, but it is the most exciting event every weekend, every one I've been to. I watched, this is crazy, I watched Tyrese Halliburton and Kat shoot. They got 35 and 36 in like their practice. Like, the fact that these dudes are shooting that well from three is my second point to the game, but we'll get to dunk contest. let's stop it. It just needs to be, there's no big names that are coming out. Let's make it entertaining. Bring the best dunkers in the world. Give them a platform. Nobody from the league, pick one or two guys from the league, one who's not in the league and one who's in the G League, and go from there. Why not? It's entertaining. Because other than that, Jaylen Brown, great player. That was the worst. It was worse. It made Richard's dunk contest appearances look like Vince Carter. He jumped over a dude in a chair. He did a left-hand windmill. These were some sea-fried dunks. They were sea-fried dunks. And I was looking at these scores like, oh, hell no. But shout out Mac McClung. He came prepared, did what he had to do, getting them checks. And that check is as much as his yearly check. So he's going to keep winning.
Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything. And the Curry 11s are specifically designed with ultimate bounce, grip, and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up and showing the basketball world that the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock with your favorite player and rep his shoes on and off the court. The Curry 11s are perfect for both the committed and casual ballers. The UA Warp Tech makes the shoe feel like it was designed for your feet, locked in no matter what you do on the court. So stop in your tracks with dual density UA flow cushioning and traction. It's an emergency break you don't even notice. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of his sneaker career, pulling colorway inspiration from the wonders of a positive and modernized future on and off the court. Take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep Under Armour wherever you go. So do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curry is available now at currybrand.com.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Thirdly, the All-Star Game. Everyone's like, well, why is it this way?
Hang on.
Why?
There's actually a situation that you missed from Saturday. The Steph versus Sabrina. And I do want your thoughts on your colleague. I want your thoughts on your colleague. Kenny the Jet Smith in the comment that has circulated. I did see his chat with Stephen A. Smith as well.
Yeah, I think sometimes what you think you're saying doesn't come off how you sound. Mm-hmm. Kenny's a good dude. It just didn't sound right. And then I think in that situation, you're in your mind, you're like, what am I saying that sounds wrong? And he doubled down on it. And then people started taking it a different way.
So I've learned about, like, look, if we're going to talk about what he said, we also talk about what Reggie Miller said, right? Yeah. What Reggie Miller said. And Reggie put him, he was trying to make a basketball technical position. That is what he was trying to make. And Kenny? I know Sabrina and Kenny. Right?
So he said, for our listeners, in case you didn't see it, she should have shot from the women's line. That would have been a fair contest. She should have shot from the line. There is a women's tee in golf. There is a men's tee for a reason. Continue, please.
And the point is more of like when she broke the record, that was from the women's line. Right. So it's like, hey, here are your two lines. Who can make the most? Right. Like she has this line. Well, she can shoot 35 footers. Yeah, we know she can. She's one of the greatest shooters to ever live, male or female. That's not the question. The question is, she broke the record, Steph's record. Steph had the record from this line. She broke the record from this line. They're competitive 3-point lines. So his point that he was trying to make was that should have been the contest from your line, from my line, not step back 2 feet. And even he was saying, we know this from, because we know basketball statistics. Every 6 inches you walk back, your percentage decreases, right? Every foot you go back, every bit that you go back, your percentage decreases, right? And so when you look at it from that standpoint, even that little gap, it's actually more impressive that she has further range and can shoot with that accuracy. But if we wanted a true test of who was the most dominant three-point shooter in their respective fields, you shoot from your line, he shoots from your line. That's what Kenny was trying to say.
Yeah. It didn't come
when
off.
When Reggie starts throwing the, oh, if it's up to you, you want her playing with dolls. Now that part is like, now you're not being a good teammate.
Yeah.
I'm right? Sorry, like that what? Part is like, he said, oh, you want her playing with dolls. Right? Like that's what Reggie said.
You forgot that part.
Yeah, that part. So Reggie puts him out there like, whoa. Like, so Kenny's like, whoa, no. I'm not making this a not technical basketball thing. And it's like, well, they agreed to it. And why? This is something we should be marveling at. And blah, blah, blah. She was like, yo, that's not what my intent is. But when he kind of was going at him about it and then makes, in my opinion, which was like, we know Kenny. His role on TNT, what his beliefs. I understand. We just explained what he was saying technically. Now, other people might have had, let's just marvel at this. Well, he was a technical person. So he was being technical, in which he believed that if she broke the record from that line, he had the record from his line. Those should be the two lines that they shoot from.
That was his point. He also went into the point of how shooting is muscle memory. Obviously, you guys are three-point shooters.
But I'm saying he was being extra technical. Reggie started taking it to, like, other places, like male versus female and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and then makes a comment about dolls. Like, he didn't tell her to go back in the kitchen. He didn't say that to her. Yeah. But in that moment, everyone just was like, Kenny, and just trying to ruin this amazing moment. He was just merely being my thing is this. You got to have a feel for the room. Yeah. You have to have a feel for the room. I don't think Kenny had a feel for the room. It doesn't make what he was saying from a technical standpoint wrong or incorrect. Right. But when you go throw darts at him, like, oh, you want her playing with dolls, now you're making a technical conversation into an emotional conversation. And I thought that part was not cool, because he wasn't telling her to get back in the kitchen. He wasn't saying anything misogynistic. He wasn't saying anything sexist. He wasn't. He was talking about it technically. So that's where I think the heat really came, because it looked like Reggie was going at him in that moment, and then they're talking over each other, and then the conversation's over.
Yeah. One thing that was brought up was that this all stems from like one thing. Why does Sabrina have to move to the NBA three-point line, right? That's the real point. Why she moved wasn't because she goes, oh, I think I can beat him. She goes, if I beat him from the women's line, they're going to say, well, she's shooting from the women's line. Mm-hmm. So like the understanding the lack of respect, again, comes from probably why Kenny said, you should respect where she's shooting it from based on her biology, based on the rules of the game that she has excelled at and played. But Sabrina knows that it's more than just this shooting contest. Like, Steph wins, no big deal. Sabrina wins at the three ball from the men's line. Now that conversation changes. There's no excuse now. I don't know if she shot with a men's ball either, which is another thing that was crazy. She said she would have shot with. I think we do it every year. She was getting rid of excuses.
She didn't want excuses if she won. So that part, I think, was maybe
26 was crazy, by the way.
Yeah, but also too, it's like, hey, we can talk about Grand Slam tennis. Women play 3 sets, men play 5. Men might have games that go 4 or 5 hours. Women have 3 sets. Doesn't make Serena is and Coco. They're as much of a draw as the men. Right. Yeah. They're as much of a draw as the men. Like, their arenas are going to be packed out, but they play far less sets, but they get equal pay. Like, right. Now, and that's the thing. I 100% support equal pay. That was one of the men's arguments in tennis. Is like, they're not playing 5 sets for 5 hours. right? Even then, when you look at it from a revenue standpoint, the longer we're in there, the more concessions are sold, the more this, the more that, games are longer. Like you guys, the TV ratings, the TV is longer. So for our games and our matches that are five sets long, right? And that can go into tiebreakers, you get more commercials, you get more of that. So there's more revenue driven by the men's based off the length of time, right? But they have equal pay. Now, in that sense, should men be upset? Right. And I know we're veering off. I'm just showing you that there are multiple instances of women having a set of standards and men having a set of standards. And we don't say, oh, well, Serena's won 29 Grand Slams, but she only played three sets. No, she dominated her field. So you should shoot from your line. He should shoot from his line. Let's see who's the best from their line.
I also think it should be like best of three. Maybe get rid of the skills challenge or the dunk contest until everyone's okay with who's entering in it and who's going to make it worthwhile to watch. Having said that,
I think you could go 2v2. You could go two. You, I think you could go. You can go men, women's if you had wanted to go like two teams. Mm-hmm. But I think to make it a showcase, once you start doing like weird things with it, then it starts to look like the skills challenge. It's just like, hey, these two, they're gonna go best at three or something along those lines.
I also think including it would put more pressure. You would get a better quality product if, again, I'm gonna stick with this three thing: the two best 3-point shooters in the WNBA to represent that league, the G League, the best 2 3-point shooters, and the NBA, the best 2 3-point shooters. Now you're not gonna get. You're going to get Steph and Dame, you know, Kat and Dame. You're going to get, you know, the two best shooters, and we're going to see.
Yeah, until somebody loses, then motherfuckers going to stop doing it.
No, I mean, but they won't do it because they're like, dude, if I'm a 3-point, if I win this, that means I'm obviously the best in the world of anyone.
Lose it, right?
You lose it. Listen.
It's kind of like Billy Hoyle, right? He's like, you missed this shot. You got to answer why you lost to a slow, white, goofy. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like that's the part. It's like that. That's the thing. Like, you know, you got to shout out white man.
There has to be pressure on these guys to do something.
Fair. But let me say this. Immediately, and shout out to the women, and this is why Sabrina is so special. The women are starting at a disadvantage because we move it back to our line where we practice every single day. Every step, everything is based off of our line. And then we shoot our distance extended from based off of our line. They are shooting from our line. So they start off at a disadvantage. That's in golf. When there's a women's tee and there's a men's tee, there's also called a handicap to even out the playing field, right? To make it a little bit more level. We're not doing that. Maybe put the line in between. Split the difference.
I was just going to say, what if you did that? Put it in between.
That to me is more fair than making them adjust to us and say, can you shoot from the same distance? And you don't have the same muscle mass. You don't have the same quick tip. You just like, that's just biology.
Channing, would it be a different, because you're obviously a 3-point shooter. Would it be different for you to have shot from the women's line?
Oh yeah. It's not even close. I never shoot that.
As in you would have been better? Yeah, that part. It would have been a challenge.
It would have. Okay, obviously we would practice that. And if you're a shooter, you're a shooter. And I'm going to exclude Steph from this. I don't know how much time these guys really put into practicing. But when you shoot a million of these threes and then now you're like a foot in, mentally, these young kids think that's an awful shot. So in their mind, they're like, they may have to take steps back to be more comfortable in muscle memory. It would fuck them up. It would fuck them up.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it take you five shots to get the distance. And then you realize.
But you're moving, Richard. So you're moving also. So like
each five spot. Shots.
Now you're into the next. No, that next spot is different. Your feet have to be different. Your angle and your shot has to be different. Like you got to aim that mother sucker. It's not the same regular shot. Like it's like shooting a floater or like getting full extension on a three, right? So to me, it would be an adjustment. I wouldn't let them know where the line was, whether that's an inch, like, no. They could practice. They'd have to practice in between the women's and the men's. And then on that day, you just put the line wherever and they got to figure it out.
What if they use that electronic court that they had in the Celebrity Game and you could just move it to just in between? So it wouldn't even have to be like on the court.
That would be tight.
The electrical.
The LED court is sick, by the way.
Shout out ESPN.
Oh, well, shout out to Sabrina and Steph, because that was epic for not only just the weekend, but beyond. And as Sabrina said, if you can shoot, you can shoot. Doesn't matter if you're a boy or girl. All right. Speaking of Steph, it is time to give me your top players from last week. Rack your brain because it's been a minute. These are our Under Armour Game Changers of the Week. Which players or coaches have impressed you the most?
Honestly, underneath the radar, the team that impressed me the most is the Pelicans, right? I feel like nobody's talking about them. They're winning games they're supposed to win. They win it. They're healthy. I don't know how much they're respected. Obviously, we've heard the comments from Draymond talking about anybody worried about the Pelicans, but I think they're going to sneak up on somebody in the Western Conference. I think there's not all this talk about Zion and his weight, or does B.I. and him work. I think Valanciunas having a great year. C.J. and their young guys have really been developed, so I'm pretty excited about that team.
Look, I'm going to shoot a little shot in the dark. And I'm going to say Dallas.
That's shooting a shot in the dark. Good Lord.
That's a team, right? Yeah, it is.
Dallas, hey, I want to shoot a shot in the dark with Minnesota.
No. I'm saying Dallas is seventh place, ho. What do you mean it's not
Richard,
a
Richard, they just made the biggest jump in the Western Conference with their trades. The trades they got, I bet you they end up.
Okay, yeah. And James Harden got traded, and it still took them time to get adjusted. So can I give them a little credit for finishing the fucking All-Star break strong, winning six straight? Okay, yeah. Thank you. So that's what I would say. I would like there, like if we're gonna talk about game changers, I'm gonna give it to the Dallas overall Mavericks, in my opinion, just because they added some key pieces. They're playing well, they got some big depth, they look like they could be a bit of a problem. They've won six straight, and we know the last two games before the All-Star break, everyone's checked out. Ask Milwaukee, you know, ask Golden State. Everyone's checked out. So for them to finish strong, I think it could get real dicey for the rest of the Western Conference the last 30 games.
Let's go to Milwaukee, and with one of your teammates. First road trip and game changer of the week. Game changer of the week are sponsored by Under Armour. Do your thing, change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curries are available now at currybrand.com. JJ Redick.
Oh, are we going to do that? Can we do the other guy first, please? And then we'll get to
the
JJ.
Other guy.
Giannis.
Oh, yeah. Come I on, actually have man. That too.
Come what do you on, say? Man.
What do you
Giannis
say?
Says, I can I read the quote basketball. For you, Channing?
Please, golly.
I just, in general, do not watch basketball. So stats, highlights, how people play, I have no idea, and I love it. I love it when I go to the game and I have no idea who I'm playing and what they do.
It's the dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard in my life. In my life. And this is what makes me so mad. He is so damn talented and God-gifted. Could you imagine if, like, you watch basketball and you went into the game with a special advantage other than something physically gifted to you? Other than maybe your tenacity and aggressiveness, maybe some mental fortitude? I cannot imagine. I couldn't imagine the greats. Anybody, you can have whoever you want as a top three players ever to play or a top 10 player, and they go, you know what? I just don't watch basketball. He has an opportunity to be one of the greatest players ever to play basketball, and he don't even watch the shit. Makes me furious.
Now, okay.
He says he doesn't even know who he's guarding, Richard, or what they do.
Is there more context?
Richard. Richard.
Okay.
I'm even commented on.
I reposted it. The whole interview, he basically like, I love that I don't know who I'm guarding and what they're going to do. And, you know, we just go out there and play basketball and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I can't say anything because he's so good. I want to say.
It's like, I want to make this more measured because, yes, every emotion that Channing's had is the right emotion. Now, I'm going to try and be a little bit more measured as Channing takes a big drink. It's like, this is my thing.
I don't get it.
I guess this is my thing. It's disappointing to hear. Obviously, Giannis is great. He's an MVP. He's won all of the awards. He is one of the great players in American sports history, right? He is, right? One of the great athletes that we've ever seen. I think the part that is disappointing is that he won't maximize he won't maximize what his true ability is if he doesn't take that next step. If he's not paying attention, if he's not watching tons of basketball games, if he's not doing this, because we know this. There's people like Bron was chasing MJ. And again, Giannis might feel very comfortable with this, but I'm saying if he wants to be the greatest player, if he wants to be the best version of himself, you can't do that without being a student. So immediately you hear that, you hear that there's a cap to what he can accomplish. And that doesn't mean he can't win more championships and more MVPs. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we know LeBron James knew all the plays of the other team. We knew he knew all the plays of our team. He knew the defensive schemes. He knew, like, for every team in this league, players' tendencies, all of the things. I say that to say is he's maximizing every ounce of his brain, of his time, of everything. He's watching film. Kobe was the same way. There are guys that are just the same way because they want to maximize their greatness. And when you hear this from Giannis, it's not that he's not great. It's just that he's not maximizing the greatness. And that part is disappointing because you almost put a cap on how great he can be. And that part is when you hear that, that's the part that's like, damn, that sucks, bro.
Allie, could you imagine if that was your leader and you're trying to win a chip with him? What does he do in the playoffs?
I'm going to add some context as Richard asked for. However, I don't know if it's going to change your mind.
I'm not saying it wasn't.
All-Star Weekend in a press conference. And basically someone said for him, though, perhaps he's trying to keep a balance between his life at work and his life at home. He said as much as this in the past. We're not talking about basketball in this house. This household, we don't talk about basketball. You know why? Because the way my brain operates, all I think about is basketball. So I don't need to talk more. I'm going to drive myself crazy, right? I'm going to want to escape it. So I feel like I'm at my best when I go back to my house. I watch my shows. I focus on myself. Focus on my breathing. I focus on what I eat. So when I come here, that allows me to give 100% in what I do.
I love it. That gives more context because he's saying he doesn't even watch basketball within his home. And that doesn't mean when he's on the road that he's not looking at games. It doesn't mean when, like, we both know Bron would be in his SUV van watching highlights and watching film on his way to practice. So that's why I wanted to give a more measured response because I'm like, before we just say that Giannis just shows up and just like, who are we playing today? We know that that's not true because we know if we're going to pack for a road trip, we know how many games we're playing. We know what cities we're going to because you got to pack based off of weather.
He wears and if you're going to tech fits in every city and doesn't go out. He don't give a shit.
No, but I'm just saying though, like, you're Giannis. If you wear the same like hoodie tracksuit 3 nights in a row, you're going to start getting clowned on.
If he got a 4-game road trip, he'd pack in 4 tech fits. One of them is going to be a Milwaukee Bucks issued tech fit, 100%. He's not worried about no fashion.
If you're for any young player, for any great player, if you want to be that, if you're not studying the game, like I wish I watched more. I understand
for sure,
but I watch more basketball now than I did when I was a player. Which again, like now that I'm watching it, it's just on in my house. It's just on, and so. I'm not going to bash Giannis. I know he speaks English great, but I think maybe there were some contextual parts missing in what he was saying. But you'll never maximize what you can achieve. If you're a good player, you'll never be great. If you're a great player, you'll never be elite. If you're elite, you'll never be legendary. If you don't become a student of the game.
And I digress.
I also think it may have been infuriated. Yeah, it did infuriate you. Having said that, wow, I was just going through your Twitter. It's not there anymore. I had to actually look up an article. But thanks for the shout out on Twitter, calling yourself Chopped Liver, because I got you to do the Road Tripping podcast more than Richard.
Yeah. Well, Richard's like, Channing, come do this podcast. And I was like, I ain't doing this shit. And then Allie was like, come on, Channing. And I said, okay.
Biggest mistake.
I need some wine.
He quote tweeted you, Richard. And the support the people that support you tweet.
Yeah.
And Channing put, am I chopped liver? She got me to do road tripping more than you.
Wait, did you also see the thing where I said you got cooked like a Costco glizzy?
But I gave you love when you called a game.
I know. I give you call. If you do something special, you're doing the same shit you've been doing.
But that's the problem. Like, if you're doing that for me, then it just never stops. Like, I get it, Channing. Like, you don't.
Richard, you haven't done nothing new. You're still wearing the same sandals from 3 years ago. If you do something new, we're going to congratulate you.
But what else? Well, I'm trying to find some new shit.
You can't. You do too much, Richard. Do less.
I'm calling
Do games. Less.
Find new shit. Go to homage.com/roadtrip and find.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Wait, Richard, come on. Okay, I really want to hear this JJ Doc Rivers story.
Oh, and you can tell about the fun part on the other podcast that you went on, Rich.
Before Richard says anything, for content, 90%, this is a big number, and I exaggerate. I've had a few. There's a lot of players that have that same energy towards Doc Rivers.
Which side are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about the Clippers, JJ side, like Doc Rivers, okay. No accountability. There's a bunch of players that have played for the Clippers that have that feeling about him. Whether that's fair or not, it happens. They won a lot of games. They've lost a lot of games. They've lost a lot of game sevens.
I'm going to let Rick open this up because I'm going to step back and be educated.
So, one, I just did the Gilbert Arenas podcast. That's Channing. Can't wait for you to show up to that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. But shout out our guys over there at Gil's Arena.
Jilly.
Lexi.
They got a crazy setup, though, there in his basement. Like, they got a little, mini.
That's a basement?
That's his basement. They got a mini Jumbotron. That's his basement. Yeah.
They look like they're in a warehouse.
When you live in Calabasas, Woodland Hills, you know, you can get a, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's his basement. It's, you've seen my basement before. So it's probably like double the size of this, maybe like double, but they also have other rooms, so like it opens up to like a weight room, but they use it for like but they're killing it anyways. So I see JJ on First Take, and JJ, he loves First Take, but he also knows that First Take is not always great for him because he gets so passionate and fired up very, very quickly, that's why I like working with him, because I like fucking with him. Right. I like fucking with people like that. So that's why we get along. So he says what he says about Doc Rivers. So I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. That's tense. I had already planned on going and doing the Pat Bev podcast, whatever. So I sit down and Pat Bev wants to jump right into it. He's like, we want to talk about JJ. And then at that moment it clicked. I'm like, oh shit. Cause last time I saw Pat Bev, he was with the Phillies, with the 76ers. I realized, like, oh shit, he's in Milwaukee. Oh shit, he's defending fucking Doc. Oh, he going at JJ. So I'm like, oh shit. He's like, yeah. So I tweeted at JJ. He reads his tweet. That's what Pat Bev is. He's reading his tweet. So all of a sudden my phone starts buzzing. I look at it and JJ put in our text chain. Ryan Rucco put in our text chain with me, him, and JJ. He put JJ's response to Pat Bev while I'm on the podcast. So I get to go, hey, Pat. JJ responded to, you want to know? He's like, yeah, I want to know. And I read it out, and they was talking shit. So then they both go back. But I don't think I've ever been sitting in a spot where all of a sudden shit was going on and people were live tweeting at each other. And JJ had no idea I was sitting down for the Pat Bev pod. Like, after he sent that tweet in, I sent the screenshot that I was sitting there with them. And it's just funny. I think Pat Bev did a very good job of expressing that. Let me be clear. I'm attacking what JJ said, not JJ. I love JJ. What he said, I feel, is factually in wrong, factually incorrect.
Inaccurate.
You feel that what JJ said is
wrong? No, Pat Bev does.
No. I'm saying that's what Pat Bev is. My opinion of this is I didn't play for Doc Rivers. People that are battling are people that played for Doc Rivers. So I can't speak on Doc Rivers, right? I can talk about what I see as his record. I never played against one of his teams in the postseason, so I can't be like, oh, he didn't know what the hell he was doing, right? So it was like I could just watch it from an objective perspective, listen to players like Channing says. There are some people that didn't have a great experience with Doc. There are some people like Pat Bev that was like, yo, man, this man helped me get paid twice. He believed in me.
Totally.
An opportunity, like they led a team to the postseason with no superstar, where it was him, Tobias. I think Dwight Powell might have been on that team, and like, wow, was it Jamal? Lou Will, right? He's like, yo, so he was giving Pat Bev all the support, and Pat Bev would run through a wall for a person like that. So when he sees that Doc and saying that Doc throws his players under the bus, Pat Bev has a completely different experience. I respect that. My name is Paul, and I don't know any of y'all.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Having said that, Channing, if you agree and you're kind of nodding with Richard just in terms of never played for Doc, let's take it one step further, okay? Stephen A. Smith on Doc Rivers. I said this, JJ, the second he got the job. If Doc Rivers, and I'm not talking about this season because he came in there halfway through. If Doc Rivers, between this year and next season, doesn't win, I think it'll be his last coaching job in the NBA.
We said that 3 times ago.
Yeah, it's like, that's a lukewarm, that's an Antarctica take. Like, that is like,
you think this is his last opportunity and it's only championship or bust?
No, I'm not saying, what I'm saying is this is like for Doc Rivers to not get another job. He's had 5 different jobs. If somebody he's a good coach, but at this point in time, it's just like, he's a very good coach. No one's not saying he's a good coach, but apparently he's not the coach to help you get over the hump. He's a coach that has more playoff kind of like black marks, and they're not all his fault. There's been injuries. There's been different things. Even when they were up 3-1 against the Pistons, and it was with Orlando, Pistons were like the number 2 seed, and Orlando was the 7. They just overachieved, and the Pistons turned up that heat on them. So the Pistons were a much better team. I say all that to say is that, like, it wasn't all his fault, but at the end of the day, you are what your record says you are. Mm-hmm. And so that's the part where it's like, if I was a GM or president, I wouldn't hire Doc.
The problem is he won. That's the problem. He's D'Antoni, but he won. Listen, just hear me out. Doc Rivers won. So the expectation is, Doc Rivers can take a team of superstars and he could take you over the hump. He can do it. And then you go to the Clippers. Oh, they have 3 superstars or stars. We'll say stars. DeAndre, Jordan, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and that crew. He took them there a bunch of times and they just didn't end up doing it for whatever reason. I'm not blaming him. I'm saying if you're the responsible one, he's going to take most of the blame. Go somewhere else. Same thing happens. Goes to Philly. Nothing happens. Now goes to Milwaukee. And all of a sudden, all this stuff starts happening. And what I get fired, I don't want to say I get fired up. I agree with JJ of this. Doc, I don't know what you're diverting already, but as a leader, as I get on Giannis about watching film, as a leader, what you say is huge about subconsciously what your players think. It is huge, whether you care or not. You going, well, we've done this. You got to say, we need to be fucking better. If we think we're going to win, we need to be fucking better. And that's it. No excuses. We have 2 of the best players in the NBA. We're the second best record, and we're losing to bullshit games because we don't take them seriously, and half of that's on me. That's all he would have to say. Whether he believes that or not, it holds Owens to the rest of his team, and he's being a leader. And that's what's frustrating is that now I think he sees there's some big flaws in what's happening in Milwaukee. Now, I could be proved wrong, but you're starting to see the algorithm on Instagram talking about when Brooke Lopez was mad at Adrian Griffin for their defensive schemes. And most of it was because he was being lazy and not being active because he's used to sitting back there in a drop and they give up the most corner threes basically in the history of the NBA. And they just happen to have Giannis and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. That was my rant.
Well said. So I'll let you finish up, Allie. I think this, as far as this, is that like I have personal opinions about my views of Doc's teams, but I can't go and say Doc's always making excuses because I don't have personal experience of that. Now, you ask me questions about other people, I can give you detailed information. I would say to the beginning of this, and we're going to circle back, I have heard from players that feel very similar to JJ. I have heard from players that feel very similar to Pat Bev. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that. Me too.
Yeah.
Just more on the JJ side.
Maybe.
The Bucks are 3-7 since Doc took over. There's a lot of injuries.
He might not be the most popular person walking around ESPN either. Let's just say that. Yeah.
Well, it's also crazy how their defense got sort of good, but then their offense is garbage now. 24th. How
you get? But you need a sample size of 20 games. You cannot judge this person before 20 games.
injuries, and people are checked out before the break.
All of a sudden you got new schemes. You're trying to implement stuff. He's got different terminologies that he's used for his teams. And he's like, oh, well, let's read that. It's like, oh, here we call that black. Those are things that, like, in training camps and in practice, like, you get through that over in time. And so then it becomes a better group.
All right, we're going to end with this one. The Lakers play the Warriors tomorrow. LeBron is not playing. He has been ruled out. However, he is just 132 points away from hitting 40,000.
That's Vegas fucking ridiculous.
Say he'll hit that mark on February 25th versus the Suns. Are you calling that game, Richard? Sunday? Do you have Suns Lakers?
What's today?
Is it on there?
Is it on ABC?
Yeah, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Well, it's probably not going to happen because he's not playing tomorrow.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Yeah.
But he will play Friday. Well, hopefully. I don't know. Fingers crossed, maybe. He returns Friday, but then there's Sunday. But I doubt he'll hit.
Well, you say he's how many points away?
132.
127.
He wasn't going to do that in three games anyway. He had two games.
I'm sorry. Yeah, February 25th versus the Suns or the 28th versus the Clippers.
No, it'll be March something.
Yeah, he can't, like, he's not going to score 130 points in three games.
You're right. He's not. Vegas was wrong. Sorry about it. I didn't say it.
You're getting defensive. You're getting defensive.
Don't do that. Don't get aggressive.
We were merely talking about the numbers and the math, and I was like, he's going to have to average 40 points.
That Arizona education. You guys did learn something. I'm proud of you.
I learned averages. I learned basketball averages. That's it.
I'm just saying that Vegas said that. Blaming it on Vegas.
Vegas can be wrong.
I blame a lot of things on Niners Vegas. Favor. It's fine. Okay. Having said all of that, what do you think this means for LeBron? Honestly, you just said it, Rich. Channing, 40,000 is a lot.
Dude, it's more point. It's more. He has more points than I had actual minutes in the NBA. Like, no one's gonna get 40,000 points. To understand that is like, it's not even an attainable number that you would think of.
Well, let's put it this way: at the end of the day, no one that is currently playing in the game right now, and it's going to take them 20 years to pass it. So, like, put that in perspective. That's all I gotta say. It's like, that person isn't here right now. No one currently playing in the NBA is going to reach that number. It's going to have to be somebody. Well, I guess Wimby, you could say that. Yeah. Again, he's got to do it for 20 years, and he's got to be an obsessive, psychotic person.
All right. Welcome back. The league starts again tomorrow. Don't forget, go to amish.com/roadtripping for all your fun, cozy swag. It's another
cozy swag.